little cash in, a little cash out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Americans bought more stuff and made a little more money in January. The Commerce Department says spending was up 0.6%, halting 6 months of declines. And incomes rose unexpectedly, boosted by salary hikes for government employees. On the other hand, troubled insurer American International Group was a money drain in the fourth quarter of last year. The company reported this morning the worst quarterly corporate loss in American history, $61 billion. Wanting to plug that drain, the Treasury Department and Federal Reserve just announced another rescue package for AIG. Marketplace's Dan Gretz joins us now. Dan, what's the amount this time?
Well, this bailout is for $30 billion. It's a loan, and it draws from the $700 billion in TARP funds. And that means that AIG, which is an insurance company, now accounts for $70 billion in TARP funds, which is about 10% of the total. You might remember that originally Congress set aside that money for banks.
This isn't the first time, Dan, that AIG has been to the federal trough. How is this different from the other bailouts of AIG?
Well, Steve, this is a 180-degree shift in strategy. The three earlier bailouts were basically about helping AIG weather the crisis. They totaled $150 billion, and they divided roughly into thirds. One-third is loans with steep interest rates, one-third to buy preferred shares with 10% dividends, one-third to soak up the company's toxic assets. This new bailout basically sets the stage for AIG to be broken up and sold in pieces. It forgives some of the loans, it cuts the interest rate to zero on the remaining loans, and it cuts the dividend on some of those preferred shares to zero as well.
So what does the government get in return then?
Well, basically the government gets control. It puts into trust two AIG units that sell life insurance overseas. The government will likely turn around and try to sell those units. I should add that AIG itself has tried to sell those units and hasn't been able to find any buyers, even at fire sale prices, so it's going to take some time for the government to find a buyer.
Dan, we hear, you know, back and forth about AIG is too big to fail. Why bother saving this company?
Well, AIG has 74 million policyholders, and it operates in 100 countries. If it were to fail, the fear is that it would be disaster for the world economy. So basically, the government wants to dismantle AIG slowly, in an orderly way, doesn't want to sell off the assets too cheaply or unwind its commitments too fast, and the hope is that it won't cost taxpayers too much more money to do it.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gretz joining us this morning. Dan, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
All this, of course, expected to be a drag on Wall Street this morning. Futures are lower at this hour. The Dow fell Friday to 7,062. This could be the day it dips below that 7,000 mark. It's the lowest level since May of 1997. Asian markets closed down 3.5% to 4%. European markets are lower across the board, 2.5% to 4%. UBS is reportedly giving some of its senior investment bankers a raise. That after the Swiss bank got rid of most of its bonuses and after the Swiss government provided a bailout to that company. The New York Times says some salaries for senior bankers will more than double, but they're still lower than what they used to earn with those bonuses. No comment from UBS on their new salary structure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. American Public Media presents Repossessing Virtue, fresh thinking on the moral, spiritual, and ethical aspects of the economic downturn. Gain perspective at speakingoffaith.org.
Last week, President Obama outlined his budget plan, and lawmakers are going back and forth about it. But the fight right now is over generalities. Specifics, including a big chunk for defense, will be out in April. That's when we'll find out the fate of Lockheed Martin's F-22 Raptor, an aircraft the Pentagon's already ordered more than 180 of. It is an expensive piece of machinery and the most technologically advanced to date. Mark Bowden is a reporter for The Atlantic. He writes about the F-22 in a piece this month. And he details the history and the huge expense of America's military air superiority.
It's fairly remarkable that the last American soldier killed by an enemy attack from the air was in April of 1953 in Korea. And that's because the United States Air Force has had the skill levels and the equipment to completely dominate anyone in the world in the air.
So Lockheed's trying to build on its successful F-15 and wants to make these super fast, super expensive F-22s. But the air-to-air combat game is less frequent as ever. What's their selling point?
The selling point is that the advent of aircraft in other parts of the world, which today, now 25, 30 years after the F-15 was introduced, are capable of challenging that fighter, have certainly increased the chances of the United States encountering opposition in the air. And so they want the F-22, which effectively moves the goalpost out even further, I think, than the F-15 did a quarter of a century ago.
Mark, this is a pretty stressed-out economy, as we all know. What's the determiner of whether something gets built?
Well, there are so many factors, Steve. From a military standpoint, you have to assess the level of risk involved in giving up that measure of superiority. From a financial standpoint, I mean, each one of these F-22s are the most expensive fighters ever built. So on the surface of it, it makes a lot of sense just to decide we can't afford them anymore, and we'll have to accept the risk. But on the other hand, we've already invested billions of dollars. We have a production line for the F-22, which is up and running, and that includes contractors for 1,000 different parts in 44 states throughout the country. So if you make the decision not to build the F-22, first of all, it has an immediate impact on our economy, because that's a huge contract being taken away from an industry. And secondly, you are abandoning a tremendous investment that you've made in this production line, which cannot readily be restarted.
Mark Bowden, reporter for the Atlantic Monthly. Mark, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chitakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.